Hi, everybody. I am Pastor Jeremiah, or Pastor Jay. I'm so honored to be here with you today. And by the way, happy Labor Day. We are going to go through a chapter in a book called Exodus, looking at work and rest. But before I do that, I wanted to do a little history lesson. Anybody like history here? Yeah? Okay, maybe a couple of you. I always wonder about why things are where they are. Why is Labor Day today, and what does it mean? Well, way back in the day during the Industrial Revolution, people were working hard. Everybody, men, women, and children, they were working their bunions off 6 days a week, maybe 10, 12 hours a day, and they had no rest. At that time, labor unions were illegal, but people were still working hard to make sure that workers had rights. And Labor Day actually started as a civil rights movement. It started in Britain, where people were kind of protesting and saying, we need more rest. And it eventually came to Canada. And in 1872, the Toronto Printers Union, they kind of called for a shorter work week, and they had this huge protest in Toronto. And in fact, 1/10 of all of Toronto, about 10,000 people, came to this protest. And unfortunately, the employers, they didn't care. They just brought other workers to fill in the gaps that these people on strike had left. And then they put all the people who were protesting on strike in jail. Now, the prime minister at the time was a conservative, and he saw this and realized that one of the main employers who did this, who put everybody in jail, was a liberal, was part of the Liberal Party of Canada. So he was thinking, oh, how do I make the liberals look bad? So he actually decriminalized labor unions, took everybody out of jail and brought them back, took away the charges, and then, of course, blamed the liberals for everything. And that's how Labor Day started. And that's how the labor unions kind of took hold and gave the people more rest. And every year they had a parade on that day, on the Labor Day weekend, to remember it. And then in 1894, the Prime Minister acknowledged the day and made it a national holiday. Wasn't that fun? I love history. And we're going to look at the importance of rest. Work is really good. It's important, but we need to rest. In Exodus 16, we meet the people called Israelites, and they are used to hard work. They had just left the empire Egypt, and in Egypt, they were slaves. Even worse than the Industrial Revolution, they were working probably, who knows, 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, no rest. They didn't have a Labor Day long weekend, if you know what I mean. And the book of Exodus says that the Israelites were slaves in order to build the storehouses of Egypt. They were working hard so that they could store more grain and more product, so that they could increase their quotas, so that they could increase work even more. It was always busy in Egypt, and there was never enough storehouses, never enough grain, never enough hours in a day. And if you know the story of Exodus, God, the Israelites were God's people. He heard the cries of Israel and their distress, and they called out to him, and he delivered them through miraculous signs and then said, I will take care of you. Trust in me. And then after they left Egypt to go to the wilderness in hopes of finding the promised land, and God told them, you know, come after me, I'll provide your needs. And he told them, even in the wilderness when there's nothing, I will give you food. I'll provide for you. And he actually gave them quail in the evening and bread in the morning. So let's go to the story in Exodus 16. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Exodus 16, verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? for we don't know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much. And the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left until and keep it until the morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one's to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, this is uncertain times. It's hard times. It's hard to trust in you sometimes during this time. Help us, Lord, to know that it is you who provides our needs. It's you who pays the bills. It's you who gives us true rest. So help us, Lord, to enter that rest today. May today, the Sabbath, be honoring and pleasing to you, and may we find rest for our souls. And Lord, use my words for your glory and praise. May it be your words today. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. This is what I believe God wants us to know today. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. There was an old guy named St. Augustine. He once said, our hearts are made for you, O Lord, and they are restless until they find rest in God. I think this is also true of our work. Now, work is so important. Work is good as a gift from God. It feels so good to work. You feel like you know who you are. It builds character. And also, it does help to put food on the table. Work is great, but we see what happens when there's not enough rest in society, in our lives. People become restless. They get burnt out. They live short, miserable lives, and greed prevails. God has shown us a better way. Today, we're going to look at Exodus 16 and focus on 2 points in this story. One is, working is restless when we trust our work more than we trust God. And two, God offers us rest in Jesus. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. Let's look at the first point. Number one, working is restless when we trust our work more than we trust God. Now, I want you to ask this question in your heart. Don't tell anybody the answer, but just ponder it maybe during this week. Do you trust in God more or your work more to provide your needs? Consider that today. After God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt through these great demonstrations of power, God sent them into the wilderness and told them to trust in him. You don't have to work like crazy like you did in Egypt. All you have to do is trust in me. And God provided for their needs. Quail in the evening, meat, and then bread in the morning. That's amazing. Now, it was tough for Israel to trust in God. I think it's sometimes tough for us too to trust in God. And they fail. God told them, only pick food, bread in the morning, for one day. Don't save it for tomorrow. That's why Jesus prays, give us this day our daily bread, every day. But the Israelites, this is only after today. What about tomorrow? And they store it. They kind of hide it from Moses, hide it from God. And guess what? It gets all maggots and stinks. They fail. And it's hard for Israel to do this, to trust in God, because one, they've been working their whole lives. They were slaves. All they know has to work and work and work and work. And two, they're in the wilderness. There's nothing around. They're hungry. They need something. And at the point where it's the hardest to trust in God, when you need to work harder to just survive, that's when God tells them to work less. That's when God tells them to trust in him. And that's hard. That'll be tough. But God did this for a purpose. He had a special plan. God actually allowed them to go to the wilderness, sent them into the wilderness in order to grow their trust of him. The Bible uses the image of a wilderness as a symbol for hard times in our lives. And in the wilderness, it's a place of trials and also a time of testing. And that's what God has done for the Israelites. He's testing their faith, testing their trust of him, and also giving the opportunity to grow in him. Now, when things are going well in life, when we got a job and our bank account is booming, when our children or family are doing well and life is good, when the price of oil is high, it's easy to say, we trust in God. Oh, Lord, thank you for your blessing. We trust in you. You are our security. But when you take that all away, you begin to realize that you might have trusted your bank account a little more than you had thought. When you are in a time of the wilderness, you have no choice to trust in God for everything. And sometimes in our hardest moments, in those times when every ounce of our being is saying to us, you got to do something. We got to fix the situation. We have to stay in control. We have to work things out ourselves. God may be telling you, no, rest. Trust in me. Now, I'm not sure about you, but this season we're in does kind of feel like a kind of wilderness, doesn't it? I'm not sure if you heard in the news, but Alberta has the second highest unemployment now in all of Canada. And I know some of you, my friends, are struggling, maybe not having a job, just having a tough time trying to find a job. And also, we just heard recently that Alberta now has the highest deficit in all of its history. These are hard, hard times for all of us. And when our trust is in our work, is in our jobs, is in the economy, no wonder we are restless, because all these things are fading away. We are in this wilderness and it is hard. And God may be testing our trust in him, maybe giving an opportunity to grow in our trust in him. The good news is that God is with us. He's not off in the distance. He is with us always, like the Israelites, providing for us in the evening and the morning. And he is now offering us his rest and peace in the wilderness. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. This brings us to the second point. God offers us rest in Jesus. This is one of the places where God institute something called Sabbath. It is usually a day in the week in which we fully give up our working and we actively rest and trust in God. God tells them, Israelites, you know, every day only take enough food for the day, but on the sixth day, you should collect double. Collect for today and tomorrow, because tomorrow you're not going to work. It's a day to rest, to rejuvenate yourself, to prepare for the long week ahead, and to thank God for His provision. Now, God created Sabbath not to make us anxious all the time. Oh, is God going to come through? I don't know. Should I grab more for dinner? No. He did it for our good. He did it to combat and to challenge the anxiety that in the Israelites' time, Pharaoh and Egypt had, and also our time, the economy and jobs, the anxiety of this world, which tells us that life is in your hands. It's up to you, and you better make it. It's a rat race, and you better work hard to win. But in God's economy, things are different. Provision is not based on how hard you work. In this story, those who collected a lot of manna and those who collected little manna, at the end of the day, had the exact same amount of manna. Provision is not about how hard you work, but it solely depends on God and His generosity. We just, as a response to His love and generosity, just need to trust in Him. Unfortunately, Israel and we are not very good at trusting in God, especially in times of the wilderness. It's hard. And the Bible tells us that when we lack trust in God, that led to sin. The first humans sinned against God, turned away from God because they didn't trust His words, didn't trust His love and provision. And we still do that today. Whenever we sin, whenever we turn away against God, we're telling Him and almost spitting in His face that we don't trust in You. And because of our sin, we were separated from God. And the Bible says we were spiritually dead. We're spiritually hungry. We were, like Israel, slaves to sin and lost in the wilderness. And that is why Jesus came. Unlike Israel, unlike us, Jesus completely obeyed and rested in God His Father. He trusted God completely with the work God gave to him. He never strayed away from the plan of God. He worked hard for God's ministry, but also he rested often. The scriptures say that it was customary for Jesus to go to a lonely place, to a wilderness, a wild place, in order to get away and spend time with His Father. And Jesus is offering His rest today. When we come to Jesus, He gives us rest. He is and becomes our peace. The scripture actually uses the image of this heavenly bread, this heavenly manna, to point to Jesus. Just like God provided bread from heaven to fill Israel's need, God sent Jesus from heaven to fill our deep spiritual longings. And this is kind of the image that we take, or we experience when we do communion together, like we did last week. Jesus is the bread of life. With Him, we'll never grow hungry. Jesus is the bread from heaven, and He gave Himself for us. He broke His body for us so that we could have life. He died on the cross so that we could be brought back in relationship to the Father. Because of our sin, we could never work hard enough to reach God. We can never reach. He's always out of our grasp. So Jesus worked for us. He entered into the wilderness. He took our sin on Himself on the cross. He died in our place. And because of Jesus, our sins are now forgiven. Now through Jesus and now through the Holy Spirit, we can have a loving relationship with God as our Father. And we are invited to trust God for everything in our lives, for our bills, for our payments, for our health, for our life, and even our death. We can trust in God that He who raised Jesus by the Holy Spirit is with us and wants to give us life. wants to provide for our needs. We can trust him because he is trustworthy. He has never failed. And God, in his rest, in his providence, in his love, wants to give us both spiritual heavenly bread, salvation for our souls through Jesus on the cross, and also earthly bread, supplying our needs. This is the words of Jesus in Luke, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He's kind of inviting us to rest in him, to trust in him. This is from Luke chapter 12. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what will you wear? For your life is more than food and body more than clothes." He says, look at the ravens. They don't farm. They don't collect, have this little plot of land and grow it up, put it in a storehouse. No, God cares for them. Then Jesus says, look at the lilies. They don't go to H&M and to Zara, wherever you go, looking for the best clothes. God clothes them in this magnificent beauty. Even the most beautiful fashion models can't even compete with. And then he says here in verse 29, do not set your heart on what you'll eat and drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world, this worldly economy runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Are you restless? Are you worried about putting food on the table? Are you just so filled with fear? You don't know what's going to happen next. Trust in Jesus. In him, you don't have to worry. He has saved you from sin, and also he will provide your needs. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. Let me just end with two applications. First one is just trust in God. Second one is rest in Jesus. I encourage you during this crazy season, trust in God. Whatever your work situation is, maybe you're working like crazy and you have no rest, or maybe you have no job right now. You just, what do I do now? Trust in Jesus. He loves you, wants to provide for you, and he is more than enough. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, it's a good promise from God, is Philippians 4:9. It says here, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God knows exactly what you need. And it says here, needs, not greed, and not even your lifestyle. God's not saying he's going to give you quail on grew. Like when God gave Israel's quail, it wasn't in this nice platter and all picked up all night. No, it's meat. God is saying, I will give you what you need. Trust in me. And that might mean your lifestyle has to change. That means you have to change our priorities. Not about the biggest car, the biggest house, but it's about God's kingdom. Seek his kingdom first. Remember, God is doing all this, maybe allowing this wilderness to invite you to draw closer to him, to draw closer to your trust and love of him. And in order to meet your needs, sometimes God will use miracles. Some of my friends, they wake up in the morning and they don't know what to do. The bill came in and then they have another random check comes. What? Oh, thank you, Lord. Also, God sometimes uses the world system, governments, agencies to supply your needs. We have to thank God for that too. But often, God uses each other, people in the family of God. So I encourage you, if you're going through a tough time, let us know. Click the connect card. And also, consider joining a house church where we meet together in person or online to share our struggles. And if you're part of house church, just open your heart to your church family. Acts 2 is a foundational scripture of Mosaic House. And in it we see Christians, they were selling their possessions and giving it to each other, making sure everybody had their needs met. This is the heart of the family of God, the church. Because in God's economy, we don't compete with each other. We are generous to each other. And I encourage you also, just commit your work, whatever you're doing, to the Lord. Ask him to help you trust in him more than your work. And from that place of trusting God, you can work hard and glorify Him in whatever you're doing. Our work is restless when we don't, until we find rest in God. Final one is rest in Jesus. Unlike this world system, we shouldn't be living in this constant restlessness, even if we are doing and working good things, even like the church, even working at a church. Myself, I do struggle at times with workaholism. I'm getting a lot better by God's grace. And whenever I'm in this season where I'm just working so hard, God reminds me that I'm not trusting in Him. One, I'm not trusting Him for my earthly bread, or in my case, earthly rice. I love rice. Anyway, I'm kind of thinking it's in my hands. It's me who puts food on the table. It's me who puts rice in the rice cooker. It's up to me. And I was like, no, what are you talking about? Who gave you your ability to work? Who gave you this country you live in so you can work? And two, I'm not trusting God for my heavenly bread. In the back of my mind, I sometimes can't accept the free gift of Jesus, that He has given us salvation for free. You don't have to work for it. We just have to receive it. And I feel like, no, that can't be true. So I try to work hard to earn God's love, earn God's favor. And God tells me again, what are you doing? No, rest in me. Salvation is a gift I provided for you. Just rest and trust in me. And in order to remind ourselves of this and to resist kind of the power of this world, which kind of tells us it's up to us, it's in our hands, I encourage you to practice Sabbath. And Sabbath kind of just means resting, stopping from work. In the Jewish way, they typically start Friday evening to Saturday evening, where there's a full day of not working. I know back in the day, Sabbath kind of took on a more legalistic approach where you're forced, you don't work or else. That's not how God kind of works it. It's an invitation to rest, invitation to grow in Him. And I encourage you to ask God how you can practice Sabbath in your life today. And resting, taking Sabbath, is not just doing nothing like a slug, but it's investing in relationships. It's active. It's doing soul work. Things that you just love to do, which make you alive, like hobbies or hanging out with your friends or music or art. And your brain gets rest, not only from inactivity, but doing something new. Doing things that you don't usually do during your work week, like going for a walk, reading a book, putting your phone away. And of course, Sabbath is spending time with God, carving out space every day, and also especially Sabbath, where we can find a lonely place to spend time with God. Jesus, He loves you. He's provided everything for you, and He invites you to rest with Him. He wants to spend time with you. He cares for you. He knows, and He invites you into His rest. Working is restless when we trust God, trust our work more than God, and God offers us rest in Jesus. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. I encourage you to come to Jesus today. Give Him your restlessness. And let me end with His words, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. This is Jesus talking to you and to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for providing for us our needs. It's you who puts food on the table. It's you who pays the bills. It's you who gives us the ability to work hard. So help us, Lord, work not from a place of restlessness, but out of our rest for you, we can work hard for your glory and praise. Help us to trust in you during these hard times, and to pray for those going through hard economic times. Provide for them, Lord. Show your power and love in the way that you choose. And help us, Lord, to be generous as you are generous to us. And Lord, again, we thank you for filling us, sending us Jesus, our spiritual bread, the bread of life. Help us to rest in your salvation. And out of this rest for salvation, tell others about your goodness and love and your free gift of salvation for all. May we be your missionaries, your ambassadors, inviting others into your table, Lord, so they can taste and see that you are good. We trust you, Lord. We love you. And we praise you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.